You think you're facing cybersecurity threats, don't you? Well, just wait. Cyber threats coming at agencies will dramatically expand over the next 5 years as the amount of data and the use of mobile devices grow. It means agencies and contractors both need to think differently about cybersecurity. David Bray is the FCC's Chief Information Officer. He tells Executive Editor Jason Miller about some of the potential ways to stay afloat in the rough cyber seas ahead.
The world we're going to is exponential. We're going from having 7 billion network devices on the face of the planet in 2013 to 14 billion in 2015 to anywhere between 50 and 200 billion by 2020. And similarly, the amount of data on the face of the planet is doubling every year as well. So that by the time we get to 2022, there'll be approximately 96 zettabytes, that's a billion terabytes, of data on the face of the planet, which is more than all human eyes see in the course of a year. So as a CIO, I have to actually think outside the box as to how I'm going to try and address that exponential change. And sort of the three sort of principles that I'm looking at is, one, recognizing that, you know, we do a lot on signature detection. How can we also move to being much more about behavior so that we can deal with unknowns? Or it may just be that the hardware is having an issue or the software is having an issue, but it could also be a cyber threat that's just not characterized yet. And then the second step would then be thinking about, how do I move from just being about security to being about resiliency? If you accept that, you know, there are a lot of known threats and there's also unknown threats and they're only going to get larger, it's really about how rapidly can you be resilient in terms of something happens, you contain it, you clean it up, and then you can respond to that. And so it's just recognize that's a new order. And then third, how can we work together as teams? Definitely need the experts, definitely need the professionals, but it really does take an entire team to deal with that new world in terms of both public relations, in terms of what's going on behind the scenes with network operations, and just generally understanding the code too. And can we write code that shifts us from being much more about application-centric to data-centric, so we can actually sort of protect the data instead?
Let me go through each of those because I think they're fascinating. Let's start with behaviors. One challenge of the behavior piece is people make mistakes. We're complex people making silly mistakes sometimes. So just from your perspective at the FCC, how do you deal with that behavior issue?
You're right that, yeah, human behavior is, we often do great things and sometimes we also make mistakes. And so just recognizing that in part of the system, and so that if something happens that looks odd, it's not an immediate stop, all stop. It's just more the security officer, someone's going to have a conversation and say, see, you're trying to access this application you don't normally access. Is there a reason? Can you tell me why? Or we're just abnormal patterns. And I think that's the world we need to get into, which is almost like the machine is helping tip and cue what looks odd. There may be a valid reason, or it may even be a hardware software issue, but there's just so much going on in the organization that if we are reliant solely on human eyes paying attention to it, we're going to miss things. And so we need the machines that can actually say, hey, I'm not exactly sure what's going on here, but someone needs to pay attention to it.
As you look at your world at the FCC, as you look at how do I protect the networks, the systems, the data, how is behaviors falling into your strategy?
At the FCC, we're a small agency, and I can't invest as much as I would like to, given the resources we have. And so our strategy really is, as much as possible, move our infrastructure to public clouds, because by moving to public clouds, actually, we can capitalize on their scale. It's not just about the efficiencies that you gain from having the data available globally, but also then the data and the applications then actually have the level of security that a larger company can provide, much larger than the FCC. And so with that, we're also trying to work with our partners so that we do get information about what's being done with our data. Can we also start doing trend analysis so we can actually say what is normal access patterns for the behavior in the cloud beyond what we normally see?
It's almost by giving up that quote-unquote control of the infrastructure, the running of the infrastructure, you can take those resources and then put it toward the resilience piece, the analysis piece.
Yeah, exactly. We have to be strategic about our pivot. I don't want any business of maintaining infrastructure as it is right now, the FCC. Good news is, since I've been here, we've gone down from having 207 different systems to now a little bit more like 102, 103. So that's halfway there. But we still have a long way to go, and I just cannot continue to spend the limited budget I have on maintaining aging infrastructure. I really do have to move to the cloud and then focus on resiliency that includes security, but also reliability, agility, and flexibility.
Part of this behavior piece is depending on machines, and we love to make the joke, the rise of Skynet, you know, the Terminator movies. But really, you presented a very interesting idea that if you could use some algorithms, a machine to help you identify and then use the expertise of people, talk a little bit about that concept.
Again, with the fact that the number of threats are growing exponentially and the amount of data is doubling every 2 years, I do have to send my people home at night. They need to eat, they need to sleep, they need to be with their family, they need to have a weekend. I don't want to burn them out. And so the idea is, can I pair humans with machine learning? And you think about machine learning, we've already done this very successfully with cancer cells, where we show the machine enough cells that are cancerous relative to cells that are not cancerous, determined by a human expert. And the machines now can actually be at least 95, if not 98, 99% as accurate as human experts. And so the machines have learned how to identify what cancer cells are. And it's not so much about Skynet, although I think, you know, that's an interesting thought. It's much more like a 5-year-old or 6-year-old having a conversation about, why did you say that sentence that way? You know, they'll say, I ran to school today. And you're like, well, why did you say it that way as opposed to school I ran, or something like that? And they're like, well, I just never heard it that way. And so they've just been exposed enough to language to know what's normal. And they will then also know what's not normal, and they'll actually say, well, that doesn't sound right. So we're trying to do the same thing with cyber, which is, can we expose it enough to what is normal so that if something odd happens, it can say, well, wait a minute, like a 5-year-old, I just have never said the sentence that way before.
How at the FCC are you taking that concept and applying it? Because, again, you talked about resources, you talked about resilience, and then you also definitely want to talk about the workforce piece, because there is a key workforce piece to that. But first talk about how you are taking advantage of that machine ability.
Probably that's where I need to, instead of wearing my FCC hat, as you know, I was with an Eisenhower Fellowship program and just got back about a week and a half ago, where I spent 5 weeks in Australia and Taiwan meeting with their industry and government leaders. And so it was more what I was seeing, what those countries are thinking about and what we might want to think about as well, which is what's a national strategy beyond just any organization. Because I think, again, these threats are going to span sectors. They're not going to be limited to a single organization. And if we focus solely on just what's going on with our own firewall, we're going to miss all the behaviors that are happening across organizations.
Talk a little bit about how that's influencing that experience going to Taiwan, Australia, some of the other countries that you're going to be able to visit is going to influence your work at the FCC.
The Eisenhower Fellowships were created a year into the Eisenhower presidency, where they basically send 9 or 10 people from the United States each year to countries to talk about issues of your choosing, and then they bring back people from those countries. And so my issue is on the Internet of Everything. It's not something that I necessarily get to deal with on a daily basis as a CIO, but I have no doubt that the Internet of Everything is rapidly accelerating towards us, and we need to think about it. So it's influencing my thinking in the sense of, if the Internet of Everything is going to dramatically increase the number of devices on the Internet, and it's also going to bring in things that previously were based on industrial controls, which are not as secure as TCP/IP. Not that TCP/IP is great too, there are things we need to do to improve it. But with the Internet of Everything, maybe we need to actually approach it much more like public health than just building higher walls and tougher locks. And what I mean by public health is, yes, we teach you good hygiene. Yes, we want you to practice good behaviors like seeing a doctor, getting antibiotics, vaccinations. But we recognize you still might get sick. And when you do get sick, it's really about rapid detection, rapid addressing whatever the things are. If it's herd behaviors, if we need to make sure it's not spreading to other parts of the population, and then rapid cleanup. And I think that we may need to think about the same thing for devices, because questions I got both in Taiwan and Australia, just last month even, there was a fascinating question that said, who's going to take care of your grandmother when her car gets hacked? Or who's going to take care of your grandmother when her refrigerator gets hacked? And at least in my experience as an Eisenhower Fellow and personal views, I'm not quite sure that's necessarily going to be law enforcement or even the military. I think it's going to have to be something new, much like how we do infectious disease and public health.
That idea of a CDC for cyber, I've heard that before. Rod Turk, the Energy Department, I sat down with him just recently for my Ask the CIO show, and he brought this up as a concept. It seems to be gaining some ground. In fact, he said, I'm not even talking about a Red Cross for cyber, more actually of, as you said, a concentrated effort that helps the nation versus just, as you said, maybe law enforcement that looks at the criminal aspect or DHS that looks at certain pieces of infrastructure. Is that something that you're starting to see gaining some traction, whether it's in the U.S. or around the world, this idea of a CDC for cyber?
Yeah, so I met both with the Minister of Communications in Taiwan as well as in Australia, and actually talking to the Minister of Communications in Australia, that's Malcolm Turnbull, as well as the shadow minister. So they have their shadow ministers like the opposite party. Both of them actually said the idea resonated with them, and so Australia is taking a look at it. Same thing in Taiwan. It was the Minister of Justice actually that said that might be a model they need to look at, because they recognize when it comes to civilians, what they're doing for law enforcement just won't scale. And so I think it's worth us also having conversations here in the United States. Again, I may not be able to in my current official capacity, but as an Eisenhower Fellow, at least can have conversations about, is this relevant to other countries?
Let me shift back and put your FCC hat back on for a second. One of the things you said about the way to approach cyber is the team approach, and I think part of that is the public-private partnership. Talk a little bit about how you see that going and how at the FCC maybe you are encouraging that team approach.
We have a really fantastic team that we've built up over the last 20 months, in that these individuals are both people that have been at the FCC. We have people that have been there for 15 or 16 years, or even more. Actually, we have some people that have been there for 30 or 40 years, as well as some new people that have chosen to come from Silicon Valley. They initially started doing one day a week here in D.C., and now they're 3 days or even full time. People gave up going to get a PhD. We actually had one case where someone that actually had served in multiple roles as an advising government as a contractor chose to become a civil servant, which is an interesting direction. And so we've assembled this diversity of talent, and it really is different views. Often I see my job is actually bridging those different views. But as a result, we get this rich diversity as how we tackle things. And that applies to how we do resiliency. That applies to how we're baking in certain resiliency approaches. We're right now in the process at FCC of, one, moving all our infrastructure offsite to a managed service provider as a way of getting ready to then go to the cloud with the infrastructure we have at headquarters. We also are, by the end of this fiscal year, rolling out what we call a common data platform, because the idea is, again, where I've gone from 207 systems to 103, 104, that's still different systems that have different application code, logic, and data. Instead, I have a common data platform that has all the data. I can focus my resiliency and my security efforts on the data itself and monitor how it's being used and protected there. And so that will actually make the best use of the limited budget we have.